tonight. We're going to be picking up again where we had left off. We were last week, we didn't meet, but this week we're going to be looking at the scriptures. We were talking about the difference between salvation and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's important to understand because most of the church world, the majority of the church world that you're around, all these scriptures are just jumbled together. All of it's put together. Stuff's not divided. When Paul told Timothy, he said, we show ourselves approved unto God by rightly dividing the word of truth. And if the word can be rightly divided, then it can be wrongly divided. And so it's important. We just don't just accept somebody's doctrine just because they say it. Many doctrines that people have things founded on are things there's only maybe one scripture that says in the Bible about it. You know, don't ever make anything a doctrine that you can only find at one place in the Bible. Don't ever do that. You know, if you can't, a doctrine is anything that really, that is this foundationally true through the Bible. It's an established principle in God's kingdom. It's not some obscure scripture. So when you sit down and look at the Word of God, make sure it's saying the things. Don't try to twist the Word to make it say what you'd like it to say. And that's why we're really going through these scriptures and going through a lot of stuff and even being very repetitious about it. But we're going through scriptures. One thing is you got to see it's in the scripture. Because most of the church world doesn't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The majority does not. I don't know what the percentage of, but we're a small percentage, really. If you probably look at the whole church world, we're a very small percentage that believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost and speaking in other tongues. We're a small percentage. And yet, that's why is to look at it, because you've got to be founded in Scripture on it, because you're going to have too many people running around telling you it ain't so. You're going to have all kind of people telling you it's not so. And the reason they're going to tell you that is because I'm just serious. Now, they're not knocking anybody or anything. They just don't know the Bible. People don't know the Bible. People are very ignorant of the Bible. Most of you sitting right here, right now, probably even the kids, know more about the Bible than a lot of Christians do. Loads of Christians are just religiously taught. They have been taught, sit in churches. They don't even know if the Bible says what they even believe. They talk the stuff. If you ask them where it says in the Bible, they'll say, I know it's there. Well, you ask them where it is. They can't even ever show you where it is. They'll say, oh, I know it's there. Well, where is it? Well, you know, you could come back 10 years later and they still haven't found the scripture if they were even trying. So they don't know. It's just stuff passed on. So that's why we're really looking at things and going over it, because you need to be settled that it's true. Because if anything the devil wants is to you know, you're already born again. There's nothing he can do about that. You're already in God's kingdom. You're already a child of God. But he doesn't want you to be able to operate in fullness. He doesn't want any Christian being full of the Holy Ghost. If there's anything he don't want, is Christians full of the Holy Ghost. He doesn't want that. You know, many of the churches, and not just what we call denominational churches, they make statements about Methodists and Lutherans and things like that. But many of the churches that people call fundamental churches, they don't even believe you deal with any kind of demonic things. They don't even deal with a thing about that. I mean, the devil can pretty well do what he wants. He's got pretty much free hand. If anything bad's going to happen, they preach God did it. You know, if a meteor fell out of heaven tomorrow and smacked somebody on the head, it was God did it. You know, God killed him. He had a purpose in it. You know, that's what's being taught. So we're moving along in areas and stuff where it really got, the devil doesn't like things about this taught. Now, we were dealing with the areas of salvation and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the difference between the two. We looked last week and talked about, not last week, the week before, we had looked at Philip and Samaria and talked about that, the difference between being saved and what the scripture, that the fact that those people got saved and then were filled with the Holy Spirit. And also, I'm going to go back to some more scriptures we talked about before, also with Paul and his testimony when he was Saul of Tarsus. We want to look at there because we can see the difference here. There's a witness that it's salvation, that Saul bears witness the fact that he was saved, but also he received the Holy Spirit. So there was actually two different events. And in Acts, the ninth chapter, the story of Saul of Tarsus is the entire story, which we won't go through, the entire story. But it talks about Saul's experience on his road from Damascus. And the vision, he had papers on him to go go kill Christians and have them locked up, and men and women. Saul wasn't too picky about, you know, who he did what to. In Acts, the ninth chapter in the sixth verse, we find there, and we're talking on the subject about the difference between salvation and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, where we can see it clearly in Scripture. And here we see that in the sixth chapter, it says, speaking of Saul, when Jesus appeared to him, it says, so he, trembling and astonishing, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? It says, and the Lord said to him, arise and go into the city, and you'll be told what you must do. We talked about this before, but I want to reiterate some of these things where Saul confessed the fact he called Jesus Lord. Now understand, Saul surely did believe in Jesus. Jesus just appeared to him. So he surely knows Jesus is alive because he's talking to him. Jesus has appeared to him. So he knows that Jesus is alive. And really the fulfillment of the Scripture, because Paul makes his statement. And let me say this. Paul got saved because he had a vision of Jesus. Think about this. The disciples, the 12 apostles, really the 120 that were in the upper room, that 120, they hadn't believed on Jesus just by hearing Scriptures. They had actually walked with him. They saw him after the resurrection. Paul saw him. You need to understand, do you know you came into the kingdom on a higher level of faith than they did? Do you know you came into the kingdom on a higher level of faith than Apostle Paul? Because you and I believed just what the Word said. You and I just believed the Word. See, Paul ain't got nothing on Ed Gibson. See, so many people look at these people and think, whoo, ain't they something? Wow! No, ain't we something? Think about it. When we look at Jesus, when he came to Thomas, and he said, Thomas doubted. He said, Thomas, you believe because you see. He said, blessed are those who don't see and believe. The blessed crowd, Paul wasn't the blessed guy who had the vision on the road. The real blessed person is the guy who learned to just take the word, believe it, and act upon it. That's the blessed person. Because that's the way God's kingdom works. God's kingdom works off of faith. It don't work off of visions. It works off of faith. It's believing the word. Faith comes by hearing the word. Jesus said, when I come back, am I going to find faith in the earth? He said, when I come back, am I going to have a lot of people had visions? You know? He didn't say that. So, you know, it's fine. You know, you could have a vision, have a revelation in that vision. But the whole thing of it is we need to know this. Just to believe what the Word said is the most powerful thing that you can do. That's the highest level of faith. The highest level of faith is not having a manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit or something. It is when you just believe what the Word says and you stand on it. Amen. See, we all got born again that way. Listen, I don't know. Does anybody have a vision here you got born again? I mean, I didn't. I didn't have a vision. I mean, I just believe what the Word said. Accepted Christ. Well, you came in on the high. You came in totally by faith. What pleases God? Faith. That's what pleases God. So don't ever get over it. Don't look at these people and think that they were some kind of big champions. See, if you do, then you'll never enter into these last days to the move of God that He has prepared. Because if this last day move of God is greater than the move of God in their time, it's going to require more faith. And if you think they're better, you will never get there. If you think that they're some kind of champions of faith, you ain't ever going there. Hallelujah. I'll tell you what, there's going to be champions in these last days, champions of faith. People, you know, we have in the book of Hebrews that where it goes through and gives a list of people of faith, and that stuff tells what they did. I will tell you what, in these last days, there could be book, and you know, maybe they will be in heaven, but there's going to be people who are going to be champions of faith. Hallelujah. That's worth writing about, of what they'll do in this day and this time. But see, you got to see yourself as that. See, and that's why you need to know the Word of God. You know, most people preach that Paul, he was definitely a saint, and we're probably an ain't. You know, we can't reach that great mark, you know. There are saints, yes, and we're saints of God, but you know, I'm just not Apostle Paul, thank God. Hallelujah, I'm not. So, we believe what Paul preached, but Paul really received his faith by Jesus appearing to him. You know, he's heading down the road, really. He's got a death sentence on his head by God. If he wouldn't have accepted Christ, I don't think Paul would have lived much longer. I think it would have all been over. it would have been done because Jesus said, why are you persecuting me? Not a good thing to do. You're messing with the saints. You're in trouble. So, praise God. So, Paul's on the road. So when you think about it, you know, he believed, you know, Paul's the guy that wrote Romans, and wrote Romans in 10:9. It said that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God's raising from the dead, you'd be saved. I want to read that to you in the Bible in basic English. I really like the way it says it in Romans 10:9. It says, the Bible in basic English says this: because if you say with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and have faith in your heart that God has made him come back from the dead, you will have salvation. See, really, that's where it's at. So with salvation, Paul believes. So we see, really, Paul got saved. It's just like the disciples. You know, people, when they say, well, the church started on the day of Pentecost. That's nonsense. You didn't think that the disciples before the Pentecost believed Jesus was Lord? They hadn't believed God raised him from the dead? Dear Lord, they saw him. If they didn't, what a bunch of knuckleheads. I mean, whoa. So, I mean, they saw him. They walked with him. They touched him. They ate with him. So, you know, they did. They weren't, the day of Pentecost was about the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. It wasn't about getting born again. That had already taken place. Hallelujah. They were already God's children. They were already born again. So we see Saul here. Saul expresses really his belief in Christ. So Saul got born again really on the road to Damascus. And then in that story we see his salvation, really his believing, because of what takes place with Ananias. And Ananias was the guy that the Lord spoke to and said, told him about Saul, and he said, hey man, we don't mess with this dude. He's a troublemaker for the church. God told him what had happened to Saul. And in verse 17 of Acts 9, it says, and Ananias went his way, entered the house, and laying his hands on him, that was Saul, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus. Now, you see, he says, Brother Saul, he would have never called Saul a brother. He would have never done that. In other words, God told him Saul was his brother now. God had told him that. He knows now. Saul's a child of God. Saul's born again. He said, Brother Saul, then he said, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. So, the reason, there was two things, the reason that God sent Ananias to Saul, and the two reasons, the first one was that Saul would regain his sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Jesus didn't send him there so Saul could be born again. He didn't send him there so he would receive Jesus. He didn't send him there so Saul would be saved. He didn't send him there so Saul could get eternal life. He didn't send him there for that at all. He sent him there specifically for the fact that he would be receive his sight and he would be filled with the Holy Spirit. So we see here there's a difference between being born again and being filled with the Holy Ghost. We're talking about two different things. Now, there's some things that we need to understand. One of the things of it is we want to look at God's gift to His children. And really, God's gift to His children is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God's gift. We talked about that before. But, you know, when Philip went to Samaria in Acts 8 and verse 5, it says this. Philip went down to Samaria, and what did he do? He preached Christ to them. So we see that Philip went down to Samaria. He preached Christ to them. He did not go down and preach the Holy Spirit. So when things are talking about the Holy Spirit, you know, I don't know how people get this jumbled up. I mean, you have to really get religiously brainwashed to try to twist this stuff together. You can't. So he went down and he preached Christ to them. In other words, we preach Christ to sinners. That's what we do. We preach Christ to sinners. When we were sinners, somebody preached Christ somewhere along the line to us. We heard the good news or whatever it is. We heard the gospel preached maybe more than one time. It's like me, I heard the gospel preached so many times. Dear Lord, I would have no idea in the count. But it took me 30 years to get there where I finally came to Christ. But Christ is the gift of God. In other words, salvation through Christ is the gift of God to the sinner or to the world. That's what it is. That's the gift of God. The Holy Spirit is God's gift to His children. And I really want to emphasize this because there is people don't understand, and I think even among the Spirit-filled people do not understand the importance of being filled with the Holy Ghost. Because God's whole, just think about Jesus. Jesus talked about leaving. He didn't, when Jesus said he was going to go on the night, if you go over and you read the Gospel of John, the Gospel of John, the majority of the Gospel of John takes place at the Last Supper. The majority of the book. The things that Jesus was telling his disciples are things that he's telling them. It's he didn't talk to them about salvation. He talked to them about the Holy Spirit. Jesus is getting ready. You know, the finale is coming up. He's going to be crucified, die. He's not going to be staying on the earth long then. He's going to be gone. And what is he talking to them about? The Holy Spirit. Now, look, you got to get born again to get into the kingdom of God. But I'll tell you what, it does little good to get born again if you ain't going to get filled with the Holy Ghost. Because there is no way, it is a total impossibility for a person who is not a, who is a born-again Christian but not Spirit-filled, it's totally impossible for them to do the perfect will of God. It can never happen. They can't walk in God's perfect will. They cannot. It's impossible. Totally impossible. You know, the whole idea, people start, all religion, you know, Christian religion will always tell you, oh, how much we need God's help. Oh, we need God's help. But then they don't believe in the Holy Ghost. And what they do, live their whole life, them trying to do it without God's help. That's right. We're going to do it because we don't need all, we have all the Spirit we can get. Say, yeah, you got everything. You know, you just got everything you want. I ain't even got everything I want you. You know, they're saying, dear God. We need the Holy Spirit. We desperately need the Holy Spirit. There is so much spoken about in Scriptures and so much that Jesus said that pertain to the filling of the Holy Spirit. And I just say this, that's what you were born again for, is to be filled with the Holy Ghost. That's what you were born again for. And if anybody didn't want it, I mean, it is beyond me. Because it becomes, it's just like when the Lord spoke to me. I mean, I'm a baby Christian. I was literally a baby Christian. I had only been born again a couple of months. And the Lord spoke to me and said, if you don't learn how to be led by the Spirit, you're going to amount to nothing as a Christian. Well, number one, you don't get filled with the Holy Ghost. You ain't going to learn much about getting led by the Spirit either. And he told me, he said, you won't amount to much. You're not going to amount to anything as a Christian. So I know this. If I don't amount, I wouldn't amount to anything. Then I can truthfully say this, a good martyr of the Church of Jesus Christ has amounted to nothing. Most of the church world follows their own plans and own purposes. They do a lot of good things, a lot of nice stuff. I mean, good. I'm not trying to be bad people. I'm not trying to run anybody down. But they can't do the will of God because they're not empowered by God to do it. There's so much of Scriptures. Understand this. When we look at the New Testament, there's letters written to Spirit-filled churches. There's not one church that wasn't Spirit-filled. There's not one church that hasn't had the baptism of the Holy Spirit and spoke with other tongues. Not one. All of them did. That's what they did back then. You go back and read church fathers, and you know, back in the centuries, and they all know that. It's a known fact. And so we're reading, and this is why, if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, there is a load of the Bible you'll never understand. Because it won't pertain to you. You can't walk in it. Why would it be teach? God's not going to teach something to somebody that. You know, it's like me sitting down trying to teach, you know, a third grader algebra. Well, man, it ain't going to work unless he's some kind of little genius or something like that. But it's not going to work. And so that's why being filled with the Holy Spirit opens up the door for the divine power of God to manifest itself, to God to really be God in the earth. That's when Jesus made the statement to Peter concerning the church on the revelation that the church would be built on Jesus Christ, on that revelation. He said, I'm going to build my church. The gates of hell cannot prevail against this church. Jesus wasn't talking about a church that wasn't Spirit-filled. Jesus is talking about a church because he said, this church, whatever they bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever they loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Well, I know this. There's no church doing that except the Spirit-filled church. The rest of them just let the devil do whatever he wants and says, God did it. They're not walking in that authority. The only people that walk in that authority are the Spirit-filled people. They're the only ones that walk in it. This is why the devil wants the doctrine out there, you know. You don't need to be. You got all you need. That's what he wants. He wants you to go sit down somewhere. Just be happy with what you got, you know. Just hope you live long enough to have a decent life and, you know, things work out a little bit. And, you know, you don't get run over too often. You know, you just make it through and just, we're just hanging on till Jesus comes back. I was born and raised in a church like that. Testimony meeting was when people would stand up and tell you a story that you wish you wouldn't have heard. Because you thought your day was bad. You were having a bad day, and then they told you a bad story that made you have even more of a bad day. About how they were getting run over and other things. And they'd always end it like this. Pray for me that I might hang on true and faithful to the end. That's how it ended. And I mean, I was a kid, used to sit and listen to that, and it was like, wow, this, you know, what a bummer. I mean, it's like, who's going to make it out of this? And they would tell us, these people are the real saints. These are the you know, pillars of the church. I thought the church fell on them. I didn't think they were pillars. You know? Because, you know, they're out there and really they're talking like, you know, they can't make it. It's number one, God will keep me. My faith is in God keeping me, not me hanging on. Dear Lord, if it's about me hanging on, we're in trouble. God can keep me. And that's where our faith is. But see, when you get people over here, you know, they're living that life. They don't believe in the Spirit-filled life. They don't. You get over there, you talk about the things of the Spirit, and you're a nut. Something's wrong with you. You're strange. You're weird. But they're living like, and that's what Satan wants. And I'm not knocking. I really feel bad for people, because you know I believe they really want to do right. I believe they want to walk right, but they have had their minds filled with false doctrine. They've had their minds filled with things, and lots of times it's very hard to reach them. Hard to get a hold of them. It's hard to talk to them because they're so indoctrinated, and most of them have been indoctrinated into this, that don't you dare listen to anything else, because if you do, God's going to get you. They'll never say the devil will get you. God will get you. See, God's the bad guy. He's always the hammer. He's always the one that's going to get you. Yeah, he's going to get me and bless me. That's what he's going to do to me. He's been hunting me down. Hallelujah, to bless me. That's what he does. You know, God, hey, think about it. If God wanted to get you, I mean, would it be hard? I mean, it wouldn't take you much work, would it? I mean, it was just like flicking a net, you know, he'd whack you and that'd be it. Dear Lord, gee, my words. Strange doctrines. Don't believe them, folks. Hallelujah. But we're as Christians. We preach the Holy Spirit to Christians because that is God's gift to you. Hallelujah. I mean, God's gift is God the Holy Ghost. You know, He gave us Jesus for salvation and then gave us God the Holy Ghost. Not just live in you, but fill you. I mean, it's absolutely phenomenal. And most of the church world don't have nothing to do with it. They don't have a thing to do with it. Nope, we don't want none of that. There's one thing is me. I would think if God the Holy Spirit would come in me, that it wouldn't be anything weird to talk in tongues. I would think if God showed up in me, some really wild stuff would happen. But you know what they got? They believe I have all the Spirit I need. And you look at them. They're just like everybody else. They're identical to every other sinner out there. They don't do any more God. They just have maybe a better conduct of life. Sometimes. But what else do they got? Nothing. That's what we lived around. That's why I didn't want God. I lived around that stuff. I lived around those things. And I saw this stuff. And I used to think, what good is God in all this? He can't put them over. They're tripping over the same old stuff I'm tripping over. They're doing, and then they're saying, you know, God's this guy, he kills your kids, he does all this different stuff, and they say, I love him. Like, hold it, something's weird about this. I love the guy that killed my kid. I mean, to me, I really thought they were sick and perverted. I really thought this. And so, thank God our God's not like that. Our God is so good to us that God, the Holy Spirit, was given as a gift to live in you and me. You see, the church world really doesn't live in that revelation. The church world is searching for God. The church world, the Christian world, is seeking for God. We're not seeking for God. God has given the church the Holy Ghost. God lives literally, not a figment of somebody's imagination, not just some nice words on a page. God actually lives in us. I mean, that's a phenomenal thing. Now, don't try to get your mind around it, because that gets weird. Because your brain will think weird thoughts. Just believe it in your heart. Because if you start believing that, I'll tell you, it'll revolutionize your life. It'll absolutely revolutionize. Because people will come along with things saying, man, I can make it. Don't matter. God's going to help me. God's in me, you know. You won't stop and, you know, pray, try to reach a God way out somewhere in yonder. You know, God is with me all the time. You'll get to the point, you know, you'll start talking. You'll have conversations with God. When you're talking to the Holy Spirit, you can have conversations with God. And see, start living it. When it becomes real to you, you're going to find out that it is not hard to get God to respond to you. It's a matter of thinking right. It's a matter of renewing the mind to start to think the way the Bible puts it. When Jesus is going to leave, He's going to send the Holy Spirit. Now, in Luke, the 11th chapter, in verse 13, Jesus made this statement, so we know it's about the Holy Spirit. We read it before, but I want to read it to you again, because we'll use these scriptures, but I want them to get them into you with what Jesus said. Jesus said, if you then being evil, verse 13 of Luke 11, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Now, He's talking about people giving gifts to their children. In other words, He's talking about giving the Holy Spirit to His children. This is God's gift. So see, God was speaking concerning His children. Jesus said about His Father. So see, Jesus made this statement. Now just think, in John, He says, and really it tells these guys, in essence, the same thing in the Gospel of John. He speaks to them the night before He's betrayed and says, hey, you guys, you know, I'm going to be gone, but don't worry. I'm going to ask the Father. He's going to send you guys the Holy Ghost. Wow, this is what He had talked about before. I'm going to ask Daddy. Daddy's going to do it. That's what He's going to do for His children. He wasn't speaking about salvation. We'll look at that then. But here we see, this is God's gift to His children. See, John 3:16 is talking about God's gift to the world. This is God's gift. John 3:16, you know, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. See, if you want to get to know Jesus, you cannot get to know Jesus without the Holy Ghost. It is a prerequisite. When people talk about having a personal relationship with Jesus. When I got filled with the Holy Ghost, it revolutionized my relationship with Jesus Christ. Absolutely revolutionized. I started understanding things about Jesus. Before, Jesus was a lot of information to me. When I got filled with the Holy Ghost, Jesus became alive because the Holy Spirit made Him alive in me. And that's the difference. See, the Holy Spirit takes the Word and brings it to life. He brings it to life. That's His job. And so, that's what He's doing. But, so, God has this gift for the world, and it's Jesus. I mean, it's a wonderful gift. My God. You know, we want people to come to Jesus. You've got to come to Jesus first. But come to Jesus. But what we're preaching here and teaching, speaking to believers. This is strictly what I'm teaching about is to believers. We're not minimizing salvation, but our subject's dealing with the Holy Spirit. And to believers is one of the things you're going to be around people and that stuff. And, you know, and you need to be totally convinced and become unwavering when people come and talk against whatever it is, what you believe concerning these things. You've got to become unwavering. Because if you get into doubt, doubt's only going to lead you into trouble. That's what it's going to lead you to. If you get over the thing and start listening to what people have to say about it, most people, it's amazing, the reason that people don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, most of the time it's not even scriptural. What they tell you is why they don't believe it. When you take them to scriptures, they haven't got a clue what you're talking about. I've had Christians come to me and say different things. I've had born-again Christians that didn't know God lived in you. Sit in churches, been churches all their life. I made the statement about God living in me, and they thought I was being blaspheming. Hold it. Haven't you read the Bible lately? Probably not. Or, you know what? They could have read it. But, you know, they have their doctrines and belief, and they only see what they believe. That's all they see. and they can read right over things and they don't see them. So you and I have been born again by God the Holy Spirit. It's through the Holy Spirit we're born again. But God has a gift, and the Holy Spirit, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, is God's gift to those who are born again. And in John 14, I made mention of the scripture. In John, the 14th chapter, Jesus said to his disciples, they're getting ready to leave, and he made this statement to them in John, the Gospel of John, the 14th chapter. Starting at verse 16, and it says, "And I will pray the Father," this is Jesus, "I will pray the Father, he'll give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive." See, he couldn't be talking about salvation here, could he? Because the world can receive Christ. See, people, most of the church world, if you go into most churches, they equate these scriptures to salvation. This isn't talking about salvation at all. It's not salvation. Jesus is making emphasis. I mean, we talked about this in the beginning. Jesus told the disciples, "Don't you leave to go out and minister. You stay in Jerusalem till you get endued with power on high. You don't leave till you get the Holy Ghost." I totally believe this 100%. God wants nobody in the ministry till they get filled with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
This is what the mess up is in the church, because the majority of ministers are not filled with the Spirit. And that's why we have this doctrinal mess, why so many demonic powers have operated in the church. Now, I know that won't go over big if they download this offline, but I don't really care. It must be said. I'm not trying to knock anybody, but this is what's been the problem. This is why we have so much craziness out here. It's because men have gone without the power of God. They've gone without the power of God. They're trying to do things without the power of God. Well, I'll tell you what, you go without the power of God, and I'll tell you, the devil's going to do a lot of things to you. And he'll surely mess up your doctrine. He'll surely mess up your doctrine. But he said this Spirit abides with you forever. He's the Spirit of truth. The world can't receive him because it neither sees him nor knows him. The unsaved person can neither see nor know the Holy Spirit. You have to get born again to know the Holy Ghost. So, but she says, "You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." So he's telling the disciples. Now just think about that. Jesus is leaving. Isn't it? I thought it was the most amazing thing. Because Jesus, according to John, in John's Gospel, he talked about salvation in the beginning of it. It shows things that Jesus said and did. But on the last night, Jesus' emphasis to the disciples is the Holy Ghost. His emphasis to them is the Holy Ghost. Why? They're following him. They believe on him. Jesus knows this. These guys are going to be, you know, the beginning of the start off of the church age. He knows that. And he knows this. You've got to have the Holy Ghost or you're not going to be able to do this. It won't work. Or you'll end up having religions. You'll end up having all kind of religions. And that's what happens. In the church world, we got a lot of religions. So there's a lot of stuff going on out there. So the world can receive the new birth, but the world can't receive the Holy Spirit. But you and I can surely, we can receive the Holy Spirit. That was the gift that was given by God to the church. Now, I'm sure Jesus wasn't making a mistake, you know, what he said there in John. I don't think Jesus, you know, misquoted him, you know, or he didn't know what he was talking about. Because if he did, we'd have a hard time, you know. I would imagine there's people probably come up, well, maybe he made a mistake, you know, what he said, you know. Because people will try to do anything to keep their doctrines. Well, we're not going there. Last time we met, I used a scripture, but I want to go back over to it because it really shows, again, the picture where Jesus spoke in Mark, the second chapter. Over in Mark, the second chapter, verse 22, here again, Jesus speaks. Now, he's speaking here of the new birth and the filling of the Holy Spirit. And I really believe this scripture is telling you the purpose of the new birth is for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's so God, the Holy Spirit, lives in you. That's the purpose. You got born again to be filled with the Holy Ghost. You got born again so God lives in you fully. Not so I'm just born again. We have a lot of empty bottles running around out here. Because just in this scripture, look what it says. Verse 22, "And no one puts new wine in an old wineskin. or else the new wine bursts the wineskin, the wine is spilled, and the wineskins are ruined. But new wine must be put in the new wineskin. You know, if you check, theologians will always talk about the fact that, yeah, this is talking about the born-again experience and then being filled with the Holy Ghost. See, wine is a representation, not of the new birth. You'll never see the new birth represented as wine. That's always the Holy Spirit. That's one of the representations of the Holy Spirit is wine. And we find wine is what? It's put into a wineskin. And they'll all tell you, oh, yeah, the new birth, the new birth. But see, they believe if you get born again, you automatically get the wine. You know, you automatically have the wine. Well, if you automatically have the wine, then what's the purpose of this thing? You know, Jesus wouldn't have had to tell us this thing. He's talking about you get a wineskin. First, you got to have the wineskin. Then you can have the Spirit. It's two different things. Two different experiences take place. So first of all, people have to get the wineskin. Once you get the wineskin, or you become born again, then you can have the wine poured in to you, or you can have the Holy Spirit poured into you. So we see this, and really, Jesus, to me, this is looking at this scripture is a proof of the fact is we got born again so we could be filled with the Holy Ghost. That's the purpose. That's God's purpose and plan. This is one of the reasons why we have gotten into the doctrine, a lot of the doctrinal area in this area and time, is because most of the Spirit-filled church has moved away from the need of being filled with the Holy Ghost. They've moved away from it. That's why we have so many doctrines of devils and things got into the church. Because of this, we have this, the fact that people, you know, you got saved, you're all right. But when the Spirit-filled church moves away from being Spirit-filled, when Spirit-filled believers don't think it's important anymore. You know, it's like over in Lebanon, we have the largest Spirit-filled church we have in the community. They don't preach on the baptism of the Holy Spirit because the pastor said it's controversial. Well, I'm sorry. He's being led by the devil. I don't care if he gets this and hears it. He's being led by the devil because people are getting born again and he's telling, we can have a good church. We can do God's will and God's purpose without God's plan. We can just do our own plan. You don't need the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is controversial. I'll tell you what, I wouldn't want to be him waiting to get into heaven. You know, I can see some Baptist pastor just never believed about it, but this guy has the Holy Ghost. I know. I prayed with the man. I've heard the man pray in tongues. We prayed together, done things. I preached in his church. And I know he believes, but he turns around back to completely away from it. Spirit-filled church. Now today, we just don't have it. I'll tell you what, to me, that's scary. I don't know about you. I wouldn't want to be in his shoes into that stuff. Hallelujah. We've been recreated, or God created us and made us children of God so we could be filled with God. That's our purpose. Hallelujah. So we want to walk in the light of that. I do want to share some things here about baptism because people come up with questions in these areas because people will read a scripture and end up taking it from its context and then they think the Bible's saying certain things and there's things that we need to look at. People get confused over the word baptism in the Bible. And it's a very confusing subject for people. All kind of crazy doctrines. I mean, there's churches out here. I mean, there's denominations that actually believe that if you're not baptized in water, you're not saved. They believe that kind of stuff. Personally, I have to question their salvation because they have faith that you have to be, you know, something other than Jesus to be saved. And I'm sorry, that's totally unscriptural. People say they're Christians. I'm sorry. I'm not going to say that. Because if I say they're Christians and they totally believe you have to be water baptized to be saved, Paul told the church in Galatia, if you become circumcised, Christ profits you nothing. Because, see, they were coming told that you have to be circumcised to become a Christian. Oh, yeah, believe on Jesus, but you have to be circumcised. Paul told them, you guys do that. Christ ain't going to profit you anything. Why? Because you're leaving faith in God. You're leaving faith in God's plan, and now you've picked up another plan. I believe in water baptism, but I don't believe water baptism will save you. Whether you got it or didn't get it, ain't going to change your life. Water baptism. I was filled with the Holy Ghost before I was ever water baptized. So God ain't nervous about that subject. You know, people are really downright weird. Today, we got, no, you have to do. We got our formulas. I got God's formula. Get saved, get filled with the Holy Ghost. That's God's formula. Do you realize Cornelius and his household, which we'll talk about, they got saved, filled with the Holy Ghost before they were baptized in the Bible. You know, God's not nervous. He ain't weird. And you know, the fact of, I don't believe that you have to be water baptized. I asked one time of the one church in Lebanon who they have that doctrine that you have to be, and the person told me, he said, you have to be water baptized to be saved. And so I just asked him a question. I said, do you believe in deathbed? You know, a person on their deathbed can accept Christ. They say, oh yeah. Well, I said, well, hold on. They can't get water baptized. Oh, they said, well, God knows. Now I said, now hold it. Show me the scripture. It says, well, God knows. I want to see the scripture. Hey, look, if you're going to believe that, it has to state it in the Bible. You have no basis of faith. I said, I want to know. I show me in the, please take me to the scriptures and show me in the scriptures where it says God knows. You know, I want to see it where it explains it, because it would have to for us to believe it. Well, of course, they couldn't find any scriptures on that subject. So I said, well, they mostly, we believe it that way. Well, I said, so what? I said, Hindus believe a lot of crazy things. There are other people, I said, that make it so just because they believe it? I said, is God moving line just because you decide to believe that? I said, what about the Bible? Well, they got over, we got talking, you know, about some things, and so they got over in the things of baptism, you know, into the areas of baptism. In those areas, they had to be saved through water baptism. And really, when I asked them questions really in the Bible, they really didn't have a basis. They were really, what they did, they had twisted scriptures and stuff that wasn't even talking about water baptism, didn't talk about any of those things, but used them for water baptism. And really, they got to the point where they were twisting scriptures around just to fit, and some of them didn't even fit, to what they wanted for their belief. But you don't want to add anything to it. If a person, Paul never said, you know, if we would say they talk about, you know, breathing people to Christ according to Romans 9, 10, you know, we read people to Christ. Paul didn't talk about water baptism there to get saved, did he? He never made mention of it. Now, would you think Paul would have said something? Paul would have surely, you know, Paul got saved, Paul got filled with the Holy Ghost, and then was baptized in water. See, God didn't know it. You know, God's pretty foolish, isn't he? You know, God can't figure things out. You know, he needs a good, you know, denomination to get together, figure out a doctrine for him. We try to put God in the box. But see, people grab a hold of these kinds of beliefs. We need to get ourselves in line with the Word of God. We used before already, really, in Acts the first chapter and verse 5, talks about baptism there, where it says Jesus made the statement himself. He said, for John truly baptized with water. John did a water baptism. So we know this. There is a water baptism. He said John had it. So in other words, the water baptism didn't come into the New Testament. Water baptism exists. In fact, if you follow the Jews had different sects among themselves. They had these different sects of people, had different beliefs, and they had different followers. And people would have, you would have different, you know, rabbis would have their group that would follow them, and some of them would have their own certain little doctrines and stuff that they believed in, different ones that they believed in. And what people would do is they would get baptized concerning their faith in that belief. In other words, we're following this guy, and they were baptized under that person. And that meant that's the person you're following. See, when John came along and John began to preach, the Bible tells us he had baptized a lot of followers. In other words, his followers would be baptized under his ministry or the direction, you know, that he was preaching going. His people would be. When Jesus came and started to preach, his disciples baptized people. If you read the New Testament, they baptized people that followed him. See, that was a practice in the Jewish culture. That's what they did. So Jesus came along and we see them doing that. So baptism really in the Eastern culture was a huge thing. And a lot of those cultures are the same way today. I told you before, like when I was in India, and the Hindus, like, you know, Christians would, people would want to accept Christ, but they wouldn't want, they said they didn't want to be baptized because, you know, you could stand up in a meeting and voice that you believe, but what really proved if you believe if you'd be baptized? That's what's saying to people, I'm really saying this. I'm not just didn't say this one night at a place. I'm going to walk this way. That's what water baptism was to these people. It was what you were going to follow. In our culture, it doesn't mean that. In the church world today, it doesn't mean that at all. In fact, to most people, water baptism, most churches really don't mean a whole lot of anything. I mean, today, we're just trying to get people to believe on Jesus. Dear God! And because baptism in our culture, they'll baptize anybody whether they believe what you're doing or not, just to get a member. They don't care if you follow it at all, just so we can say we got 1,000 people or we got 2,000 followers. This is no lie. This happened. I was involved in a church. God told me to go help this church out when this pastor was starting a church. The Lord spoke me to go help him get out and get started. This pastor was ordained under this one denomination, but he went out and he started an independent church. He went out and did it. Well, they said he could still stay ordained under there. They would let him carry his ordination, you know, under them. But they came and they wanted this church to go join up under their church, under their church group. And it was really interesting. Now, their church group was made up of all churches. Each church, in a sense, was independent, but they were all under this denomination. But each congregation really owned their own buildings and stuff and things, and this is how they did it. So they came and they said, "We want you to join under our group." Well, we said to them, "Well, hold it. We believe totally different. You guys don't believe in half of what we believe. And you know what they told us? Oh, we don't care. We just want to get people under our group." Why? Because you got numbers. See, numbers is prestige. Dumb Jesus didn't know that. I mean, he was an idiot. He turned around and told the disciples after the whole crowd left, "Why don't you guys go too?" Didn't seem he was impressed on the numbers thing. He was interested in followers. Today, there's no interest in that. It's interest. The church of Jesus Christ is whacked out today. There's a lot of craziness going on out there. They just wanted because their denomination was dwindling in numbers, and they wanted more numbers, man. We want more people. We're getting down in numbers. We've got to make us look like we're doing something. You know, if you're doing what's right, it don't matter what the numbers are. If you're following what's right, it don't matter what the numbers are. It's about doing what's right. They weren't interested about doing what's right. They would join up with people that don't even believe what they believe. And that's why you go into church world. I can take you into spirit-filled churches today, and there are so many whacked-out beliefs in the spirit-filled church because people are allowed to have them. They're just, you believe whatever you want. You know, you're just here in our group. Jesus loves you. You know. All kinds of strange doctrines. I know, I taught in Bible schools. So I had students from numbers of different churches would sit in classes. And when you start finding people come and talk to you about things and they don't want to understand things and blah, 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 and you'd find out, oh my God, you think, well, the Church of Jesus Christ is so messed up. So these pastors, what are they teaching their people? Because they got so many wild doctrines out here going on, so many things people believe. And so you're sitting in class and you're teaching subjects and you're teaching on a subject and you find out that, you know, we're teaching basic Bible subjects and they ain't even got a clue about the basic Bible subjects. And they're sitting in churches. And people come and tell you, well, we believe it like this. It's like, could you give me some scripture on that? It's like, well, we don't need scripture on that. This is what we believe. So anyhow... But you want to walk. We want to stay and walk in the light of the truth of the word. So, John was baptizing with waters, but he said Jesus made this statement. But you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Isn't that amazing? What Jesus didn't talk about the new birth. The biggie is going to be God-filled people. This is the biggie. Isn't that amazing? Hey, this is Jesus. You know, Jesus is over it. Jesus said this. This isn't me trying to minimize anything with Jesus. Jesus made this statement. Jesus did. I don't understand how the church reads over this stuff and how they get what they get out of this stuff. I have no clue. Jesus made the statement. This statement is made. I mean, Jesus. Hey. John baptized with water, but you guys, woo, you're getting the Holy Ghost. Now, in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13, makes this statement. And here's a statement where people really sort of get messed up in the area about baptism. They pull this out. And this is where people believe you get all the Holy Spirit you need when you're born again. This is, you get all the Holy Spirit you need. It's 1 Corinthians 12 chapter. 1 Corinthians 12 chapter verse 13 says this. Now this is amazing because they pull this scripture. Now understand, they pull this scripture. And in the beginning of this scripture, of this chapter, is about gifts of the Holy Ghost. And then they pull this one out to act like, you know, we got all there is. Yet they have none of these gifts in operation in the church. Now, but this scripture, verse 13, says, "For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greek, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink of one Spirit." And see, people say, well, see, there's one, they'll make this statement, one baptism. This is talking about new birth. If you look at the introduction, what we find Paul was writing to the church about manifestation of the Spirit, and then talking to them, he started talking about us being one body. And so, in other words, we were all born again into one body. He's talking now about being the house of God. But he goes on and finishes off the chapter talking about the gifts and manifestations of God in that body. And that's because of the Holy Ghost. Because he was speaking in the beginning of the chapter about the Holy Spirit. So he's saying, look, everybody's born, we're all born of the same Spirit. He's not talking about only one baptism. In other words, that's all there is. Because if somebody says there's only one baptism of holy, that's not true. Because the Bible talks about baptism into Christ's body and water baptism. So how on earth could he be saying that? See, but they'll twist the scripture trying to make it to fit, when even their own doctrines don't believe it. Their own doctrines don't believe that. And so, looking at Scripture concerning these things, in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, because people believe there's only one baptism that is refers to in Ephesians 4, 5 says this, there's one body, Ephesians 4, 4, there is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of one calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. They say, oh, see, there's just one baptism. Again, this is specifically talking about the new birth. Speaking of the new birth. Because here again, speaking of, say, faith, one baptism. Well, we know that's not what the Bible talks about, being baptized. We're born again. We're baptized into Christ. But there's also a water baptism. So that's another baptism the Bible speaks about. So we know that there's more than one baptism. And so-called denominations or whoever they might be, all believe that. But Paul here is speaking concerning salvation again. So in Hebrews, but listen, Hebrews 6, and Hebrews 6 then makes a statement in the book of Hebrews. In fact, Jesus told Kenneth Hagin that Paul wrote the book of Hebrews, and I do believe it. There are statements that are made in the book of Hebrews. If you look, it's identically what Paul stated in other places. They're identical things that Paul stated. And I do believe that the book of Hebrews, I believe what Kenneth Hagin said was right about it, about its writing. Just because of Paul's knowledge, from his background and coming out as a Pharisee, he would have sure known a lot about the law. And really what he saw and what he learned through his revelation of who Jesus Christ was and the revelation that God gave him about the church. And really Paul was given probably the most in-depth revelation of any of the writers about the church, of who and what the church is. And he understood about the priesthood and about the priesthood of Jesus Christ. And really, Hebrews goes into that and writes about that. And in Hebrews, in the sixth chapter, verse 1, says, "Therefore, leaving the discussion of elementary principles of Christ." These are elementary principles. In other words, these are basic principles of Christ. "Let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment." They are all things today that most of the Christians know nothing about. And today, if you went to a church, they would think about you teaching on these subjects that you're going on to some great revelation. We need to understand this. The things that I'm teaching here are things that are foundational principles. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is a foundational principle of the Word of God. It's not some way new big revelation that is out there for real spiritual people to learn. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is for babies. It's for every baby Christian that comes into the kingdom. It's for everybody. It's a basic doctrine of the church. But see, it has turned into something of a way out doctrine because most of the church won't accept it. So now, to have it, you got this great revelation. I'm sorry, it ain't no big revelation, ain't no big deal. This is the little stuff. This isn't the maturity. He said, we're supposed to go on to maturity, we got to go past this. So, can you see where most of the church world is today? You can't even get past elementary school with the majority. You can't get out of first grade with most Christians. You see, so many people talk to, oh man, we just have so much revelation, man. Not. We're still trying to lay down the things of elementary principles, and it's because of this. The church world has never done it. They haven't done it for so long, have not laid them down. I was born and raised in church, never even heard. But, you know, salvation, they considered that was the basic thing, getting in. And anything you learned beyond that, they thought was college, man. Because nobody knew too much. But, you know, and we need to know. But see, it hasn't been laid. So if it hasn't been laid, people don't know it. I mean, they don't, you know, they just don't get it. You know, it's like a thing we're dealing with, like, just in schools today. You know, kids reading, writing, and all that kind of stuff. They can't read, can't do math. Kids not doing well in those kinds of things and that stuff. Well, a lot of that goes down with our society, the way things are taught, the way things are done. You know, and they want to reach these goals, but they can't get out of the elementary things. You know, when you go into college, the colleges have had to drop their SAT scores, you know, their SAT, you know, test scores, things down. When a kid now goes take his SAT test, he gets an automatic, like, 100 points going into the test, because this is how we raised our test scores. You know, this is how kids got, oh, we got smarter in America now. You know, oh, we're up there higher. Yes, because now when you take a test, you get automatic 100 points. That was so every kid didn't look like he was completely dumb. That's America's way of education. Well, really, the church has followed it. The church hasn't taught the foundations of things, so people don't know them. But we find out, it makes a statement here about baptisms, and it uses, it's baptism, the S is on the end, it means plurals. There is a doctrine of baptisms. And so we've been talking about these. So the Bible does talk about baptisms. So here he refers to that. It's in the plural, there are baptisms. So we know, like, the baptism, or in other words, when you're born again, the new birth, which is the baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. We also have the baptism, which the baptism in water. And really, the baptism of water is just nothing but you're making a statement to people of the direction you're following Christ. That's the direction. In other words, I've accepted Christ, I'm going to be following Him. That's an outward statement to the world, really. That's what we're telling people. And that's what that means. So it's a matter of fact that when people use it to be anything else, is to be saved, you have to have it. That hasn't got a thing to do with it. It has strictly, in other words, in a sense, it's our confession, part of our walk, of the direction that we're going in. Then we talked about there's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The Bible speaks specifically about it. It talks specifically about, which is being filled with the Holy Spirit, and being filled with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. Filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized, speaking in other tongues. So Jesus is the one who baptizes people in the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the one who does that. So Jesus talked about, you know, really from the standpoint of being baptized in the body of Christ, the experience of being born again. He spoke about it as being a well of water, a fountain of water springing up. Kenneth Hagin used to always make this statement where he says people make a mistake. He said, you know, being born of the Spirit, just because I've had a drink of water does not mean I'm filled with water. Just because I've had a drink. Because the Holy Spirit's referred to as water. And he said, just because you had a drink, in other words, you were born of the Spirit, you've had a drink of the Spirit. But that doesn't make you full of the Spirit. And we go over to familiar scriptures into John, the 4th chapter of the Gospel of John, where Jesus was speaking here about it, using the Holy Spirit, his references to water as the Holy Spirit, which... He spoke to the woman at the well in Samaria. We're not going to read through the whole story, but this woman he met, he went there and he asked her if she could draw him some water. And he said, hey, she said, you're a Jew asking a Samaritan to draw water for you. In verse 10 of chapter 4, Jesus made this statement. He said, Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Now, if you jump down to verse 13, because she spoke to read those other ones, what she said to Jesus. Jesus' response, Jesus answered and said in verse 13 to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. The King James says a well of water. But it's speaking about water here. In other words, the new birth is, and the purpose of the new birth is this. It's really for you and I, for our individual life. You're born again. This has about blessing, really, through our new birth is really where our blessing comes from. The blessing of our life comes from it. In other words, we drink from our well. That's what we do. We're drinking from our well or our fountain. That's what it's for. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is this. Baptism of the Holy Spirit is for ministering to people. This is why you need to understand. Every believer, there is no believer that is not called to minister to other people. Because if there is, then the baptism of the Holy Spirit is not for some people. All of us are called. See, I might stand in a certain office, but all of us are called because the purpose of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is for ministering. That's what it is. It's manifestations of God through you to witness to people. That's what it is. It's manifestations of God through us to witness to people. That's what it's for. And so, see, to me, my desire really was, I just thought, Ben, you know, when I started out as a young Christian, I thought, my God, I want the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I want to get filled with the Holy Ghost. I want God showing up in me. I want people to be able to see that. You know, I don't understand that somebody would want to get saved and hide out somewhere. I don't get it. Don't make sense to me. It's like, man, I got this. Let's flaunt it. You know, it's amazing to me because I meet people all the time who are hiding as Christians, but anything physical or flashy they get in their life, they go show everybody. But they'll say, I'm just sort of a shy person. I don't really go around and, you know, say. I had a guy one time, and a guy used to go to our church years ago, and it was very uncomfortable because he was always, well, you know, I'm just not outward for witnessing to people. But I mean, this guy get up and tell a joke in front of 1,000 people. You know, I mean, I'm serious. He could just all joking around and doing stuff and things. But when it came to God, that's not my way of reaching people. Yeah, I said, yeah, right. I said, that ain't your way. I know whose way that is. You know, the whole thing was, the Lord spoke to me when I was first born again, said there's no such thing as a closet Christian. See, I don't believe in closet Christian. Because Jesus said, if you don't confess me before men, I won't confess you before the Father. Jesus said that, so I don't need any other argument on the subject. As we do. It's what we are. We're not ashamed of our Christianity. And people need to know what we are. This is what we are. I mean, I'm just known around in my community where I live. That's the preacher. When I worked at Lebanon County Prison, I was the preacher. I wasn't even in the ministry at that time, but I was called the preacher. And I used to say to him, that's exactly right. That's what I am. People knew. People knew. I had a way of life I lived. I had things I did. People did other stuff. I'd tell them, no, that ain't what I do. I let people know. And it isn't being mean to people, but, you know, I just let people know. I'm not telling people, you know, I have a lifestyle. I have a way that I live, and I want them to know it. And it's amazing because over time I found this out. You know, it's just like when I worked in a prison. You know, there's a lot of people used to make fun of me. A lot of even the other corrections officers and staff and stuff used to make fun of me. I knew they made fun of me behind my back. I knew that. But every time they needed help on someone having problems, they'd always come to me and ask, would you pray for us? Would you do this? Why? They didn't go to all them people they made fun of. You know, they're making fun of me. Didn't go to none of them. Wow, they didn't care at all. They didn't like them any better. It's one thing about the world. They're like the devil and nobody likes each other. I'll tell you, in the world, you ain't got friends. I'm just telling you, I lived in the world. They eat each other out there. Amen. I know. I was one of them to eating people. That's what the devil does. The devil ain't got friends. You'll find that out shortly. They ain't got no friends out there. They ain't happy with each other. You know, we're looking at this. This woman here, Jesus speaks to her about having this well of water that springs up into everlasting life. Now, you sure do need that. You need that within yourself, really. You know, one thing he talks about in the Old Testament under the Old Covenant, the prophet made mention of the children of Israel not living right, that they became like cracked cisterns. In other words, the water ran out. There was not holding any kind of water in. And see, our new birth is about we became a well of life. Is the life of God. And that life of God that's in us, that is for our Christian walk and walking in our Christian walk. You know, if you realize, Jesus said to the disciples, if you go into all the world and preach the gospel, he said, these signs will follow them that believe. He didn't say these signs will follow spirit-filled believers. He said, these signs will follow them that believe. He said, first thing you do, they cast out devils. Well, I know that that's true. I wasn't filled with the Holy Ghost when that first God told me to go cast the devil out of my home. He told me, you need to throw these devils out of your house you left in there when you were a sinner and you had all these devils living there. Now they comfortable there. You got to go get rid of them. We weren't comfortable there anymore, but they were. He said, you got to go get rid of them. I wasn't filled with the Holy Ghost. No, because authority over Satan comes from the new birth. You know, any believer, and this is one of the things that really cracks me up, because a lot of the denominations of even like Baptist or whoever, you know, different groups and brethren and whatever, they don't even deal with the subject of the devil. They don't even deal with it, dealing with him. It's like he doesn't exist, or he's not around, or he's not a problem anymore. Dear God, he's a huge problem. They don't realize that he lives in their churches. But because if you don't recognize the fact that what devil does, he'll move in. He'll be doing stuff. He'll be doing things. And so you're given authority, and really through the new birth, those are the things. That's the life of God in you that you need to take a hold of for yourself in the areas of walking in the light of the truth. Anybody, you don't have to be filled with the Spirit to lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. I laid hands on my daughters before I was filled with the Holy Ghost. Saw them instantly healed. Why? I did it by faith. That's done by faith. Now, there are manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit, but I'll take operation of faith anytime over it. Because, see, I can get healing anytime through faith. The gifts of the Spirit operate as the Spirit wills. They don't just always happen. It's as the Spirit wills. But if I operate in faith, so anybody could turn around faith. Kenneth Hagin said about this, he wasn't filled with the Holy Ghost. He said even in his church, he said before he got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, he taught faith and healing because he was healed. He was healed as a young Baptist boy off of a deathbed. He was healed, not filled with the Holy Ghost, and he was healed. And he went on to say, he said, we actually had more healings in our church, he said, than the Spirit-filled churches had. He said because they always moved with gifts of the Spirit. And he said, I used to teach our people how to do it by faith. So see, they could only have a move of the Spirit when gifts operated. Now see, they weren't Spirit. They're the Spirit-filled people. See, not knowing how to walk, not paying attention to God. And that's why we need to understand some of these things. You have that well of water in you. And that is for you to live, and you can walk in victory. You can have a lot of things. But now, there's one thing. You can't complete the will of God without the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Because it's not about just us being blessed. It's about blessing others. You know, God told Abraham, you go into the land. He said, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make you a blessing. Abraham went into a land and it became a blessing to the land he lived in. The people that lived around him were blessed. He became a blessing. It wasn't just wealth for Abraham. Other people got wealthy living around Abraham. Other groups came and made covenants with him. Most of the church world, who'd want to make a covenant with the church today? They ain't got enough or doing enough for anybody to want to make a covenant with them. See, there's a difference. We can walk in a place where people will want to come and hook up with you. You see, even with our nation, when I was a kid, there was a respect about God even among the people who weren't saved. They didn't blaspheme against God like they do today. They didn't try to run God out of our country. The sinners never did that. Why? Because of where the church walked. The church became weak and became a nothing. And the world just, they ain't going to join you. They have no fear of you. But that's going to change. I'm going to tell you what. The fear of God's going to come back. And it's a shame. It's first going to have to come back on some Christians. You know, we sit and listen to this stuff and we think this is normal to us. But you really need to understand, the majority of the Christian world, there ain't nothing normal about this at all. The fear of God ain't even normal. I mean, they don't fear nothing anymore. They don't care about nothing. And so, you know, we're standing in a totally different spot. We got to realize we're living around a world here. I mean, that even the Christian people have no fear or reverence of God. You know, it's a fact to stand for any kind of perversion or any kind of thing come into the church, and you can be any kind of thing you want to be and be a minister. You can, no fear of God, no fear. Openly sin, flaunt it around, and from the pulpits, encourage other people to do it. We got that here in America. Well, God's going to turn those things around. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, I'm going to close there because we could go on to some other things, but my God, time has flown by. Anointing gets on you, and man, you don't know where you're going after a while. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. It's good nonetheless. But I really want to continue to encourage you. Now, I know let me ask you this. How many of you here have been filled with the Holy Ghost? You have been baptized in the Holy Spirit. How many have been baptized? Everybody here has been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Okay, praise God. We're going to go on to minister, and we're going to be doing some things because eventually we're going to end up the thing because I want you to learn to start to step into some things deeper concerning it too, is concerning the Holy Spirit. There's things that we need to walk into more and hook into those areas. But I'm laying this foundational stuff is because of the things these foundations have. Most church people don't have any foundation. Even the Spirit-filled people don't have foundation concerning these. They're not sold on stuff. You know, one of the things with myself is it's like Kenneth Hagin used to tell us. He said, we need to sometimes stop. We assume that people know what we know. And I was brought up under Kenneth Hagin's ministry. You know, even the churches that I attended, that God put me in to go help, they were not founded, most of them, Spirit-filled churches. Really, the foundational things of the Scriptures, I knew more than probably most of the pastors I ever sat under. Because they were never put on, you know, they were taught a lot of other things, and they never thought of the importance of the foundational things. And so then within their church, what would happen is people would start getting different doctrines, and you'd have within the church, you'd have people say, well, if you baptize in the Holy Ghost, you speak in tongues. And you had one say, well, you'd be baptized, and you don't have to. And you would have then these people over, well, you don't even need it. I mean, it's all in the same church. You don't need to be filled with the Spirit, and you'd have it because no really foundational teaching. You'd get a message once in a while about the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but there was never any foundational teachings. Christians need to have foundational teaching. So you know the subject so well. You know it. It's just like when Jesus was tempted by the devil, he knew what the Bible said. The more you know and have a revelation of what the Scripture says, the less chance the devil has of coming around and dragging you off to something. You'll know the Word of God. And I can tell you, that's if any of my success, it has been from that itself of staying, keeping away and keep the devil off of you on things, is knowing what the Scripture said, because there is a lot of voices out here. There's a lot of stuff that's going on and said. You need to know what the Bible says. There's a lot of well-meaning people, a lot of well-meaning ministers. One of them, Randall Greer talked about it, and I agree with him 100%. He said a lot of our big churches of America today really have baby Christians pastoring them. They're baby Christians. Loads of them are baby Christians. They know, when you sit down to what they really know about the Bible, they know very little about the Bible. They got a lot of doctrinal stuff they believe. But when it comes to the Bible, they don't know it, and you can tell it by what their churches are doing and the carnality of their churches and the stuff going on. Is their churches are an image of their pastors. See, I know this. From what I preach, it's very hard for carnal. People want to be carnal to come and sit under me. They're going to have a hard time. If you want to be carnal, you have to go to some other church. I'm sorry. I got to preach it this way, folks, because I got to keep me straight. I can't preach. If I do, if I preach a lesser gospel, I'll end up living it. I can't do it. That's why I preach it. Because the preach of this is like, you know, we were taught at Rhema, you know, if you want to get people up to something higher, it's just like, you know, when I was a drunk, you wanted to go to the bar, you know, and I don't know if they do it as much now as they used to, but, you know, they used to have like, you know, the cheaper booze was sitting down here, and you'd have shelves, and then you got the better booze on the next shelf and the next shelf. And when you have behind the bar, you'd see going to a lot of bars, you'd have this big mirror, and then you'd have the things sitting with the booze. Well, the cheaper stuff was down here, and it got more expensive as it goes up. Well, you would have liked to drink the good stuff on the top. You know, that you would have liked to. Lots of time you didn't, because you could get more for your dollar the cheap stuff. This is most of the church world. They're after the cheap stuff on the bottom. But that's all they ever end up with. Because, you know, just get me some fire insurance and I'll be okay. You know, that's all I want, some fire insurance and all that. But, you know, if you want up higher, you're going to have to do something up higher to get there. You're going to end up with more money in your pocket to get it or whatever else. To bring people up, you have to teach a higher level to bring people up. You can never bring... See, churches have... This is the idea today. If I bring you in on this low level, then when I really get you, then I can take you somewhere. No, you got to have things for people that are up. Because it's like anything. They have proved this through studies. If people come along and they're taught something, whatever level that you do things on, the majority of the people will not reach that level. They'll somewhere down below. But they found the more you higher you raise the level, that people, everybody comes up to a higher level. Even though they don't reach that top level, everybody comes up to a higher level. You see that in sports. You get a guy who's average player, you put him with a bunch of good, really good players, he'll play better games. It brings the level up. You see, if you don't ever offer people top shelf, if you offer something low, everybody's going to probably end up lower than that. That's why you offer something high up here. See, I offer myself things up here I have not attained. Well, because I want to reach a higher level. I don't have a chance of getting a higher level if I set my level down lower. So that's what we do. It's not trying to, you know, any criticism of anybody. You know, nobody's going to, you know, ring the bell. We get to heaven, we're going to find out, you know, no matter how good we did, you know, there's a lot more to have. But it's a matter of seeing how much you can have. Then you could set a goal to something, but if you have a low goal, you probably may not reach that. I see people do it all the time. I've learned over time. I set myself high goal. I set myself a high standard. I set myself for something. I learned that about healing. I set myself some high standards about healing where I would go for things. I'm going to trust God. I'm not going to go to a doctor. I'm going to do it. I set myself. Why? Because I want to reach a goal. I want to reach a goal. People keep setting themselves low standards, and you know what? 10 years from now, they're at the same place they were before. They never. Why? You set yourself a standard. Believe in God for money. I stretch myself, and I'm going to believe God. I'm going to go for something bigger. I'm going to stand out. I'm not going to make a move on it to do something else. I'm going to believe God for this. I'm going to set myself a standard. I'm going to do something higher, something that makes me feel uncomfortable. If I can feel comfortable what I'm doing, I ain't stretching myself yet. And that's the way it is. You go for something higher. You have to learn to push yourself. I want something bigger. I want something. You know, I ain't drank the top shelf in God's kingdom yet. But I want to tell you, at least I want to know there is a top shelf. Yes. Most churches you go to, there ain't nothing but the toilet they drink out of. That's all they got. They only drinking out of toilets because they haven't even got up to anything God wants. You know, they're just teaching what the world teaches. They're doing what the world does. And see, there's something higher for you and something better for you. And praise God, it isn't Ed wants you to have it. God wants you to have it. God wants it. Jesus died for you to have it. Hallelujah. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. He gave you the Holy Ghost so you can have it. Hallelujah. Praise God. And He'll do everything that He can in His part to help you get it. Hallelujah. He's on your side. Glory to God. Father, we just say thank you tonight. Thank you, Father God, for your graciousness and your kindness to us. Thank you for your great love and your great mercy. And Father God, I want to thank you, Father, that you're working mightily in these people. Father, the good work you started in, you will bring it to completion. Lord God, we may have stumbled up 1,000 times, but your word says you can make a stand. Hallelujah. And you sure will. Father, I want to thank you. Father, your grace is bigger and greater than my faults and my shortcomings, and I'm so glad. Hallelujah. Father God, I thank you. thank you that we're going on. We're not going to go under. Father God, you've put a great goal before us. And I thank you, Father God, it's achievable and not by our plans or our purposes, but it's by your great glory and grace working in us. And Father God, you will bring us to completion. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.